The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. Well, once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy rainy morning to everybody. Okay, now here's the parable of the sower and the seed, explained by Jesus. And since we just heard this recently on Sunday, I'm trusting that if you're at Mass on a Friday morning, you were so recently here on Sunday, right? We've already heard this one explained. So just a little tiny thought this morning about something that I didn't get to mention last time. Okay, but first let's just review, get our bearings. The seed is the word of God. The sower is Christ our Lord, who sows the seed. And the soil, the four kinds of soil, those represent all of us. Okay? There's only one kind of soil I'm going to ask you to focus on this morning, and that's the soil among the thorns. Because if we who come to Mass on a rainy Friday morning are in any way, any kind of bad soil, it's most likely that the soil among the thorns is what we are. So Jesus said, the soil sown among thorns hears the word, but worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word. What are the thorns? What are the thorns? Jesus says two things, worldly anxiety and the lure of riches. That's all it takes to neutralize the effect of God's life-giving word in our souls. Now think about that. Jesus, he doesn't list mortal sins. He doesn't say adultery and fornication and blasphemy and idolatry. He doesn't have to. Now granted, those things will neutralize the word of God just as well. But the only thing it takes for God's powerful word to have no effect in your life or on other people is that you give your heart to something else, that you're loving something else more than you love God. In as much as you do that, it bears no fruit. So let's take a look at each one of these two, okay? Take a look at each one of these two. First of all, worldly anxiety. Now, you're busy about many things, aren't you? Gonna finish this Mass, gonna run out, gonna do all kinds of things and tasks and duties around the course of a day. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being about your duties and your tasks. Heaven knows I am, all day long. Question you gotta ask yourself is this: are you aware that you can make your duties an end in themselves? You ever stop to consider that you can make your tasks into an idol? Sometimes I like to think about St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. So think about St. Peter's Basilica in Rome for just a moment. St. Peter's Basilica in Rome was built by Pope Urban VIII. He was one of those Renaissance popes. Master builder, master architect, master artist, master classicist, master financial administrator, but not very much of a Christian. Yeah, he built St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, granted, right? But that's all he did. Now compare that with St. Peter. St. Peter, for whom the church is named. What did St. Peter build in his life? What did St. Peter build? One thing St. Peter built in his life was the love of Christ in every single heart that ever came into contact with him. And I ask you, which of the two is the greater builder? Which of the two bore fruit that lasts? It's possible to give yourself so much to your tasks that you forget why you're doing it. So ask yourself all day long, especially when you're frazzled, especially when you're busy, why am I doing this? Whose glory is this for? If nothing else, it'll help restore peace to your soul, and it just might teach you that you're being a busy as heck about things that don't really matter, and maybe you need to realign your priorities. Don't let the anxieties of the world rob your life of the fruit you're meant to bear. The other one Jesus talks about here is the lure of riches. Now, it's an interesting subject, isn't it? One of the most interesting subjects in the world is money. A lot of people think that money is the root of all evil. That's not really the truth. It was St. Paul who said, not money, but the love of money that is the root of all evil. Money is necessary, right? We've got to pay the bills around here. We all need a little bit of jingle to help ourselves get through life. But do you give your heart to it? Here's the trick about money. Money is funny because it competes in your heart for the exact same place that God wants to have, the place of love and the place of trust. There is an inverse relationship between how much money we have and how easy it is for us to cling to God. Now, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean being rich is a sin. Some people are so talented and so gifted, they couldn't be poor if they tried. They might temporarily be without funds, right? But somebody somewhere would find a way to compensate them for all the natural abilities they were just born with. There's nothing sinful about wealth, but the more we have, the harder it is for us to cling to God. That's why Jesus says, blessed are the poor. That's why it's so much easier for those who are poor to cling to God. Now, it's real important that we understand this as well, as long as we're understanding that previous point. Understand this one. Understand what poverty is. It's a lot more than a lack of funds. You know what poverty really is? Poverty is a lack of options. The poor suffer what they do because they don't have any other choice. I remember I was in Haiti. I was down there for, a couple of weeks. And there was this poor man, 80 years old, and he had this withered club foot. And he walked around all day long with a cane. And I stopped and I talked to him, and I found out that when he was 5 years old, he had this terrible injury on his foot, and there was no doctor to set his foot to do anything to help him. And he'd lived 75 years limping. Poverty, brothers and sisters, is a lack of options. Now think about that with regard to your own life. How many things do you suffer throughout the course of a day because you don't have any other choice? Maybe you hate the rain, right? Maybe today is just the kind of day designed to bear fruit, God's fruit in your life. When we come across those days in which we do not have any other option, give it to God. Give it to the Lord with the trust of your heart, and you will bear much fruit. What our Lord says here in the parable of the sower and the seed, it's very similar to what he said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness over you, and everything else will be given you besides. Let's pray that God will make fertile soil, even out of our poor hearts, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Charbel, pray for us.